Welcome to another episode of Superhero Deep Dive. I am your host, Jason, and I have a good episode scheduled for you today. Before I start, let me give my normal disclaimers, as I always do, because it never, ever stops getting old. I hate doing it, but I got to. Okay. The information pulled is from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. There are storylines and stuff that I omit when I talk about superheroes because I don't feel like they really contribute to the essence of the character. And sometimes it's fun for you guys to just like read about the character and experience the character and learn extra things about it on your own. And as always, happy Tuesday. It is the day before New Comic Book Day, so I hope you're enjoying it. If you are listening to me on Outworld Fleet Radio, welcome. It's either a Tuesday or a Thursday, because I'm aired every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio at www.un-con-ventional.com/radio. I'm also wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and you can catch me on YouTube with Superhero Deep Dive. I have every episode except for the mutant X-Gene one, because that was a hard one. I couldn't do that one on as a slideshow, but every episode gets uploaded to YouTube with a slideshow of the character images, so you know exactly who I'm talking about, and some really cool images show up. Please feel free to like, subscribe, share, comment, all that good stuff. Watch them. I don't know. It makes really good background noise if you're listening and if you're working from home. I'm just letting you know. And also you can catch me on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch memes if you're on Facebook. If you go to the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast network, I post superhero memes every day during the week. Sometimes I will post it during the weekends as well. It just depends on how chaotic my life is. And on Twitter and Instagram, use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive, and I post the superhero memes on there too. You can catch me at Super Deep Dive. So yeah. I think that's going to be it for all of that intro, because that was a lot. But I'm talking about Quasar today, and I'm talking about the original one, because there's actually like three or four of them. I'm talking about Wendell Vaughn. Now, Wendell Vaughn was born in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. He graduated from S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, and he was considered very highly capable by his superiors, but they didn't let him do field work because they said that he lacked that killer instinct, you know, or that will to win at all cost. They felt that he had, you know, he maybe just a little too timid to pull the trigger if he needed to. His first assignment is security detail for a research facility where a team of scientists were performing experiments on the quantum bands taken from the deceased superhero, the Crusader. A test pilot selected to wear the bands proved spectacularly successful at wielding them, but he perishes when the energy output reaches a critical mass beyond his control. Vaughn dons the bands when the criminal scientists launch a full-scale assault on the facility. Using the bands to generate solid energy constructs, he repulses the attack. When the energy buildup begins to overwhelm him, he decides to simply relax and go with the flow. To his surprise, the buildup abruptly dissipates. Vaughn realizes the key to wielding the bands is a flexible will, rather than an indomitable, uncompromising one. Ultimately, his lack of killer instinct makes him a more suitable wielder of the bands. So basically, you know, this almost plays out like a what if story. You know, you have the test pilot. So what if Green Lantern didn't actually get the ring? This is what happens. One of the security guards gets it. you know. And I kind of like that because, you know, with that strong will, the energy can build up. I can totally see that. And to have something like, you know, just relaxing and going with it, you know, kind of helps mediate that. So, yeah, it was really cool. That's a cool twist on it. And this is kind of one of Marvel's takes on the Green Lantern story, which is probably why I like it, because it's a take on a classic hero, but it gives it a really good twist with it that makes it a little bit more relatable. So, Wendell Vaughn becomes a superhero using the codename Marvel Boy in his first appearance alongside S.H.I.E.L.D. superhuman super agents. He later becomes Marvel Man because he's not a boy anymore, and finally settles on Quasar. Quasar journeys to Uranus, not mine but yours, where the original Marvel Boy had received the bands. The band's true natures and origins are revealed to him by the cosmic entity called Eon. Eon explains the bands were intended to be worn by his agent, the protector of the universe, who was actually the very first, or the previous, Captain Marvel. Not Captain Marvel, but Captain Marvel. Quasar is offered the role and accepts to be protector of the universe. As a result, his mind is open to the true extent of the band's power, including how to use the bands to teleport via a dimension called the Quantum Zone. He also battles a villain called Death Urge. After returning to Earth, he resumes his role as a superhero and assists the Avengers in a battle against Supernova. He is inducted into the Avengers shortly after. So, he went, you know, which is kind of cool. He went, found the origins of the bands, learned what they can do, took that responsibility, you know, and went with it. You know, it's pretty cool. I like the way his story unfolds. It's almost, it's very realistic to me. If something, like, these situations aren't realistic at all, but his reactions are. Quasar meets Uatu the Watcher. He encounters the Stranger and then solves the Watcher's Oblivion Plague, which I don't know what that is. I might have to look that up for a future episode. Like, what is the Oblivion Plague? If you guys know, let me know on Twitter, on YouTube, comment and let me know what it is. Or if you have a link to it, let me know, because I've never heard of it before today, or well, before I did the research. But after falling out from both his estranged father and Eon, he quits his role as protector of the universe. During this time, Maelstrom, the cosmic assassin, kills both Quasar and Eon. However, Quasar is recreated in an energy form by the cosmic being Infinity and battles Maelstrom in Oblivion. Quasar saves the universe from collapse, and Maelstrom is destroyed by the quantum bands, and Quasar resurrects himself with that energy. Quasar then fights Thanos at Eon's funeral. You know, that's kind of a punk move right there. Who starts a fight at a funeral? I bet it was Thanos that started the fight, but who does that? That's a punk move. And I'm trying to be family friendly, so I'm using the word punk. Eon is reincarnated in the form of its newborn offspring, Epoch, from that. So, yeah. So we're going to start a new drinking game. And I want everyone to participate, whether it is Coca-Cola, whether it's juice, whether it's just a sip of water. Or if you want to get hardcore, get some of your comic book fans that are friends and pour some alcohol. I'm not encouraging underage drinking, so only do it if you're of age. But every time I go, so yeah, take a swig. I'm going to do it right now with my A&W Zero Sugar Root Beer, which I am not sponsored by, but I wouldn't mind. Okay, let me just put the cap back on. All right, back to work. let's see here. Okay, when a Stargate being used by the Shi'ar during the Kree and Shi'ar War threatens to destroy Earth's sun, Quasar is able to undo the damage with the help of Binary. If I remember correctly, was also the female Captain Marvel. It's just kind of a form she had before she took on the Captain Marvel role. And she was imbued with some energy, so this is kind of a cool segue into that. And during the 1992 storyline, Infinity War, Quasar travels to the dimension of manifestations to gather intelligence. With the aid of the Contemplator, he discovers the cosmic being Eternity in a catatonic state. He leaves the dimension to join his fellow superheroes, and Quasar attempts to use the near-omnipotent ultimate nullifier against the godlike weapon Magus, or godlike villain Magus. But Magus uses the Infinity Gauntlet to turn the weapon against Quasar, wiping him from existence. Which kind of sucks. let's see here. He is briefly replaced by a supervillain who claims his quantum bands for himself, but Quasar is able to resurrect himself again through means of the Star Brand, which he had acquired during a trip into the new universe prior to the Infinity War. We'll talk about the new universe somewhere down the road, because that was cool. He saves the Living Tribunal from power-hungry deviant Erish Kagol, and stops Skeletron, and the Black Fleet from acquiring the Starband for themselves. When the Presence threatens to kill his loved ones, Quasar fakes his death and leaves Earth. So, it's interesting. He ended up faking his death from all these huge, big power people in order to save his family and friends. So, you know, that's kind of cool. Because, you know, you don't want to have that long, drag-out fight or to be distracted by one enemy and then have another one go after the loved ones. It's better to think that their work is done. Now, Quasar helps defend the universe from aliens called the Infinites. When Earth is threatened by Ego, the living planet, Quasar absorbs Ego's essence and exiles himself into space for fear of Ego expanding to planet size. Quasar helps to operate an Avengers Deep Space sensing station with the support of Living Lightning and Monica Rambeau, and then becomes involved in Kang's War. He later assists the Fantastic Four in a battle with Galactus, and when the Annihilation Wave strikes, Quasar and Nova try to stop it. Quasar is then killed by Annihilus. It shows that Wendell is actually restored to life again in a quantum energy form thanks to scientists from Project Pegasus. I believe at this point he does have his physical body back. But there were some stories that really didn't play too much to his character, so I didn't include that in. Because his character had already been established. So, I believe he's back into physical form. So he's gone through like 3 or 4 resurrections. This dude just can't stay alive. But that's one of the things that is very endearing. Wendell Vaughn or Quasar was always brought back because the fans liked him. He had a very strong fan base. And the writers liked the fact that the way his character developed, he was an everyman character. He didn't give up. He always tried to look for a realistic way out of things. You know, instead of, you know, going to the extraordinary. He reacted in a very real way. So it was cool. It was cool. It was kind of a character that had all this cosmic power that you could relate to. So, and that's one of the things I've always liked about him. But that was it for his history. What do you guys think? What do you all think about his history? Did I catch pretty much everything there? Is there anything that I may have missed that you'd like to add in? please feel free to shoot me a message, comment on any of the superhero memes on Instagram or Twitter. You can send me a DM. You can write on my wall on Twitter. It'd be great. I don't care. But it's Super Deep Dive, and use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. So let's go into his powers. Now, his powers are pretty dope. Wendell Vaughn is an athletic man with no inherent superpowers. He received extensive training in hand-to-hand combat and moderate experience from that. He is an expert in all basic espionage skills as a SHIELD Academy graduate. So, you know, he went through the boot camp, basically. Quasar's powers are derived from the pair of quantum bands fused to the bear's wrist, or more specifically from the 7 gems on each of the bands. The bands are permanently affixed to the wrist. While he or she can make light bend around them so they appear to be invisible, they are still tangible. They are linked to their wearer's nervous system and grant tremendous powers of energy manipulation, apparently working the same for each bearer. Composed of unknown materials, the bands were originally created by Eon to be worn by his designated protector of the universe. At some point, they were left in a weapons depot by the alien Kree, where they were discovered by the Uranian Eternals and brought to Earth by a deluded crusader who believed himself to be the 1950s Marvel Boy. All right, foremost among the band's powers is the ability to tap into a limitless energy source called the Quantum Zone. Now, I wonder if the Quantum Zone is the same as Ant-Man's Quantum Realm, because, you know, the name is right there. Quasars can project quantum energy in the form of devastating beams of force or heat. Vaughn more commonly employs them in a fashion incredibly durable constructs of solid energy, such as containment spheres or pinchers. He protects himself with a personal force field of quantum energy when he does this. Just like the Green Lantern, basically. So, you know, that's where they kind of connected. And the quantum bands can also exert control over many other types of energy that are part of the electromagnetic spectrum. For example, Vaughn once used a star to emit an enormous solar flare. It is also possible to absorb and redirect the cosmic energy wielded by such powerful beings as the Silver Surfer, Jack of Hearts, Adam Warlock, Thanos, Jean Grey, and the Watchers, siphoning their power and using it to augment the quantum energy. Forms of energy the quantum bands cannot control include magic and the Dark Force. Okay, and he also had a Star Brand at one point. While he possessed the Star Brand, Quasar gained the abilities of flight, superhuman strength, and resilience. He was also able to regenerate his entire body from minute remains and did not need to eat, drink, or breathe. However, virtually all of the energy derived from the Star Brand was depleted not long after he gave it away. The Living Tribunal later stated that Quasar's body retains only an insignificant trace amount of energy. So, and the Star Brand was like this, it almost looked like a tattoo on the palm of his hand, if I remember correctly. And so it was kind of cool. Cosmic awareness. Quasar also briefly possessed the same powers of cosmic awareness that Eon granted the Kree soldier Mar-Vell, who was later known as the original Captain Marvel. The original Captain Marvel in the Marvel Universe, not in the DC Universe. I gotta make that clear. By simply concentrating for a moment, he could gain complete knowledge about virtually anything in the universe. So that's kind of a cheap power, but, you know, they gave it to him for a while. He also had a standard operating procedure, which is important because he had a code, basically. And while Quasar's powers are quite powerful and diverse, he doesn't like to make it a habit of using all of his power to destroy his opponent. It is important to note his standard operating procedure. Okay, step number one is contain. Quasar encounters someone who looks menacing. His immediate reaction is to whip up a containment vessel around him to prevent further danger. Okay, the second step is to drain. If it appears this menace has energy-based powers, Quasar taps those powers and drains them off. The length of time this takes depends on the extent of the menace's powers. He cannot do this to people whose energies are outside of the electromagnetic spectrum, though. And then attack. He fights them with a quantum construct, be it a personal weapon. It turns out Quasar actually prefers the nunchakus. Or something big like a giant hammer or anvil, as you would normally see in like a Green Lantern comic. So I really, really dig this. I like the fact that he goes and he's got his own code. You know, he's got his own standard. He's going to contain it to maybe the people will calm down and he can talk them out of whatever they're doing. He literally tries to drain their powers if they have energy-based powers. So they can't do any damage to him or anyone around them or themselves. That's incredibly awesome. That's really cool. That's taking this very passive, non-violent approach. And I dig it. And then he does go to violence if he absolutely has to. So he's not afraid to fight. He just wants to exhaust everything before he goes to that. And I was raised taking martial arts. I've taken martial arts since I was 13 years old. And, you know, and I get that. There are times where you can see where this fight is not going to prove anything. So all you want to really do is de-escalate the situation. You put them in a hold or something to contain them. So they calm down and know that this doesn't need to go anywhere. I've actually gotten through a couple of fights just on that, putting them in some kind of hold to where they know that I could take action if I wanted to, but no one has to get hurt. You know, so I applaud them for that. I really like that. And I mean, what do you guys think? What about his powers? I like them so much more than Green Lanterns. So if you're a Green Lantern fan, I definitely recommend you looking into Quasar. And we're going to come to my favorite part. This is the power expansion. This is where I go to where if I want them to be in a different comic series, if there's like a storyline, or if it's something like a new MCU show or miniseries, or if there's a movie that can be done. You know, stuff like that. Like, what could they do? And I think I've covered all bases. I've even done animated versions and stuff. With Quasar, Quasar's always been one of my favorite, like, all-time favorite heroes. Shazam, or the original Captain Marvel, is my absolute all-time favorite. Quasar's not far from it. I've always enjoyed the way he was written. I've always liked the stories he had. You know, he's just always been one of my favorites. But with his powers, he's too closely related to the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Captain Marvel. And, you know, we don't really need a second version of Captain Marvel running around. You know, it's redundant. It's too redundant. You don't need that. So here's what I propose. Hold on one second. I just want to get a sip of my drink. Okay, sorry about that. My throat was getting dry. All right. So here's what I propose. Let's have him be in a future Captain Marvel movie or a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Okay. But let's have him be an extra character. Like, not one that's in the main team. Not one that even maybe has a huge, huge role in it. Just an extra character. Like, for instance, Captain Marvel and the Guardians of the Galaxy are established in the MCU as a cosmic police force. Pretty much. I mean, you know, in the Avengers movies, Captain Marvel went and she was talking about how she was helping all these other planets. Guardians of the Galaxy does that. It's in the name. They're Guardians of a Galaxy. So, but in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, we also had the Nova Corps. You know, so, and they're kind of an intergalactic police force. So let's add Quasar into the mix with that as a cosmic enforcer for a section of the planet, almost like the Green Lanterns. You know, he can just be in a separate section. So you have four cosmic level superheroes or super teams, and they're covering different areas. You know, which could be some of the heavier populated alien worlds or something. I don't know. But this way, he can make cameos when needed. Like, he can always join in. And he's always got another avenue for future stories in the future. There can be one-shots or mini-series of him and the Novas based on their adventures in their specific sectors of space, or even if they cross over and team up. But having them there will essentially open the doors for a bunch of side stories that can be delved into somewhere down the road or down the line if they ever wanted to. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, for the first phase of Marvel movies, they had all these little shorts done that kind of filled in the blanks between the movies. That some of them focused on Agent Coulson and stuff. It was really cool. You know, with Phase 4, I think it's Phase 4 now that we're in. They're expanding. They're expanding the world. And the thing with Marvel is that it never has to end. It really, really doesn't. They're all written extremely well. They just don't have to end. They can almost be their own genre. That's not a superhero movie. It's just a MCU movie. You know, but if they ever wanted to do little one-shots, maybe an hour long or something, or even just an hour and a half, because all their movies now go 2 hours plus. So like a 1.5 hour, just a mini version of what their movies are, you know? You can have Nova, or you can have Quasar helping out in a certain situation. What if they end up helping out some of the Skrulls, and it turns out that feeds into the Kree and Skrull War? Or I think at one point they were trying to do Secret Invasion, which, if you're not familiar with the basic storyline of it, the basic storyline, so I'm not giving any big spoilers away. The basic storyline is that there were Skrulls that came in and they replaced superheroes with genetic engineering, so they had the same powers. And they replaced them so covertly that, you know, an extended amount of time, like years, decades, can pass by and no one would realize that, you know, their teammates were Skrulls, Skrull replacements of the originals. You know, so you could have something like that where what if Quasar finds where they're doing this, where they're doing the genetic modifications and they're getting these people out, and he ends up finding some of the original heroes and brings them back, and that's what starts the Secret Invasion. You know, I mean, who knows, he doesn't have to be a big part, like, and that's the thing, he doesn't have to have a huge part, but him just having a role can open the doors in so many other ways. So that's what I have. What do you guys think? Do you have any really good ideas? Do you have any requests for me to do other heroes in the future? I did receive a request next week. I am going to attempt to do Scud the Disposable Assassin. I'll be honest with you guys. I know nothing about this character. So I am really looking forward to looking at this and delving into it, because I have some ideas just off the top of my head that I won't go into right now. But if you have any requests, please, please feel free. Shoot me a message on Twitter or Instagram, or even on YouTube. Like, leave a comment under, well, on Twitter and Instagram and Twitch, I'm under Super Deep Dive. And use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. On YouTube, you can always look up Superhero Deep Dive, and you'll see a bunch of videos. I definitely can use the subscribe count. I could definitely use the likes and the watches, because, you know, that would be great to expand the brand. And yeah. Yeah, let's keep moving forward. But until then, everyone, I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is smart. And if you're not smart, don't get caught. I will see you next week. Bye-bye.